Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. Issue 14.5. Reviews, reviews, reviews. We have so many reviews that we have to stop talking right now and get into reviews. So what do you have for us, Kat?
So I picked up Coyotes number one.
Oh! Wait, those are close. Sorry.
I want to say close, but no.
Yeah, I don't know what a coyote sounds like. Anyway, no banter, only reviews.
I was like, I think they get. So...
No,
I'm disappointed, honestly. Like, the preview for it that I read, I was like, oh, this sounds great. And then I read it, and I just feel like there's unjustified more violence than needed and more swearing. And this is coming from me. From me. That so, there's unjustified swearing.
So this what was is the plot, and why was it gratuitous?
And this is Image Comics, right?
I don't even know what the plot is. That's, like, the worst part, is I'm not super positive what it is, because they're like, this girl is being hunted by coyotes, and they're people that eat you. And I'm like, so isn't that...
Wait, the coyotes are people that eat you?
Yeah, apparently they're people! That turn into, like, these coyotes,
they
and they
coyotes?
Hunt people.
Oh, okay, so it's not, like, a metaphorical thing. It's,
no.
like, a literal, like...
It's a literal...
They're coy and, wolf people.
Yeah, so... Uh-huh. And it's just... I'm like, what? It like killed. I don't even know. Like, it's just
worth it to read a second issue to see.
I will try a second issue, and if I basically run into the same issues that I have with the first one, like this setup is, I hate to be so rude, but kind of garbage.
Ooh,
like bang. I am
and that's,
not.
And that's bad for Image Comics. First issues are usually like some of the most solid first issues.
I mean, it's like there might be people who disagree with me. I don't really think there will be though, because it's like, well, like there's so much vague. In this that I don't have a full understanding. I don't understand the mythology with anything.
Interesting.
There is forced swearing, which is coming from me. The F word is like my go-to word. And the fact that I feel like there is...
Which word? Friend?
Yeah, friend. Fire truck, actually.
Fire truck.
And then on top of that, like I feel like there's forced violence, too. Hmm. And it was just kind of a frustrating read, because I'm like reading this and I'm like kind of numb to it. Like there's no, I didn't feel like hooked. I just feel like there was extra violence and beheadings and not enough explanation for me to really get a full understanding of what's going on around me in this world. Sadness. All I know is there's people in it, and then there's people who turn into monsters who eat other people. And that's like all I know.
That is sadness.
That is sad. That's
it made me sad. Because it sounded pretty sweet from what I remember reading the preview for it.
Yeah, there was a lot of excitement at previews party. For
yeah,
this one,
and
so.
I will read the second issue, and if I don't get any more clarification to what's going on in this world, I'm not waiting six issues to fully understand it. Because at that point, it just gets frustrating. Because I'm like, why are they doing this? Where did they come from? What are these? What is this? What is happening? What world? I'm like, I can't do this. So, we'll try issue two, see what happens. I don't have high hopes at the moment. They're kind of sitting on the floor.
Okay.
Well, anyway. All right, what do you have for us, Matt?
I'm going to try to get through three relatively quickly here. We've got Captain America 695. This is part of the Marvel Legacy pseudo-launch, relaunch, whatever that's being...
You know, the fun part is they actually put in the comics, like, or in the back of the comic, I noticed, like, all of them and how it ends up being added to 695.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where
it
is.
Yeah, they add them all up. I saw that in Thor 700,
Oh, with the stamp, too.
Yeah.
This
I'm so
is
salty about those stupid things.
Written by Mark Waid with art by Chris Somney. I love this book, and I loved it because it was bubblegum Americana Captain America, which I really think we sorely lack in comics right now. I like something that is lighthearted, doesn't have to be dark, and says, you know what, the people who have strength should stand up for the ones who can't.
See,
you know, and it was
it was another, I don't know what it was with me this week, but it was like another, I read that and it's kind of a moot point. And Superman's my favorite hero, so of course I like Boy Scouts. So, like, it's, and I think the biggest problem was is the fact that there was that him talking to people and being like, you need to stand up for those who are weaker, and I just immediately shot to Superman.
Yeah.
And that was probably what the biggest part of it was.
Well, and I think that comparison should be there, because I think a lot of times Captain America and Batman end up being in the same conversation as kind of the counterpoints, because it's like the tactician and like the more, you know, not heavily powers-based, the, you know, the... He's the Boy Scout. He's much more akin to Superman. He's a driving force of connectivity.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he's always done for.
And this book is absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, the artwork I actually love. Like, honestly, if they could do this artwork for Superman, I would probably read Superman.
You need to pick up the Black Widow run that these two had together. Ooh. Yeah. Somni and Wade are an amazing pairing. I can't wait to see where this goes. It's very much an introductory issue.
Oh, yeah.
But this is definitely Marvel's attempt at saying, oh, shit, we screwed up Captain America. So here you go. This is normal.
Well, that was my thing, too, is I kind of wanted a little bit more, because I didn't feel like you got any of that. Like, I know you wanted, that lightness to it, but I would have liked to seen, like, the shadows kind of in there about what happened with him.
Well, and I think that's what the overall story will be, is addressing what happened as him traveling the United States to say, this is what Captain America is supposed to be.
Yeah, and I'll probably read the next one just to kind of see what's going on, but it was one of, like I said, I just immediately jumped to Superman and it, yeah.
Fair.
Which is not bad, but.
No. All right, my second one here is Port of Earth. This is in issue number one out of Image Comics, written by Zach Kaplan with art by Andrea Muti. So I actually met Zach Kaplan at Denver Comic Con and like chatted with him for 15-20 minutes.
Nice.
Really?
Super cool guy. This book was awesome. This was one of those great like first issue debuts.
What's it about?
It is a, so it postulates the idea that we know aliens are coming, we know they exist out in the universe. What is going to happen when they arrive? Well, it's not going to be a hostile takeover. It's not going to be we come in peace. It's going to say we come to make a deal. So we become.
Are we going to play? What's that briefcase show? Okay.
Is it just let's make a deal?
Yeah.
But this so the idea is that most of the interstellar spaceships are powered by water. And that's one of the resources we actually have an abundance of.
All I can think of right now, it runs on water, man.
So they build a port. And it's just a haven where ships come, they refuel, and they leave. And it's supposed to be an organization that doesn't really... The idea is that aliens don't interact with humans. It's just there as a port. That's where they stay, and it goes off. And obviously, there's going to be a lot
so
of...
So we're a trucker stop.
We're a truck stop.
Yeah, basically.
And it becomes more than that, including what the company is. And, yeah, we build an organization to prevent humans from getting killed and to make sure that aliens don't get killed by, you know, rioters and protesters about all of this. It is, like, the first 20 minutes of a really awesome sci-fi film, and when you get to the last page, you go, what the hell? I want more of this right now.
We hit my weak spot again.
It's so
space.
Good.
Cats space. In space.
But it's here. It's space elements coming here.
Yeah, they're coming to us.
I don't know. You start adding aliens to things, and I'm like... Losing interest.
So I'm sure, like, there's a weird flashing happening on my face right now, which I'm sure is really hilarious for the camera.
Right, this is one so I want to spend a little bit. Why is your face flashing?
The Dark Knight's Batman Lost, number one. This is one of the metal one-shots. I want to spend a little more time on this than the quick hits. This is basically inside of Bruce Wayne's head while he's trapped in the dark multiverse trying to escape. And it's framed by him telling a story to his granddaughter.
Hmm.
This is a freaking amazing piece of writing. And it's so written by Scott Snyder, James Tinney in the Fourth, Josh Williamson, with art by Doug Monkey, Yannick Paquette, and Jorge Jimenez. This
pronunciation. Sorry. I just had to bring it up.
This was just awesome. Each piece of this psychological breakdown of Bruce Wayne is by a different artist.
Like the flashes of artwork that I'm seeing in this, I'm like, hello.
It is gorgeous. Each element feels part of the overall story, yet it all feels uncomfortable. This is Batman at his weakest. And it is, each of the one-shots have sort of been framed around one of the Dark Knights. This is really the framing of Batman and Barbados, which is the head of these Dark Knights. The overall, the Bat God, so to speak. And it's rough stuff in terms of the mythology of Batman, because this is really about the breakdown of the character, but this was a great read.
Mm.
Great read.
Interesting.
Awesome. But, yeah, that's what I got for this set. What about you?
All right, so with that said, God, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record here because I talk about it just about every month, but Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, issue number 26, one of the most amazing comic books I picked up, like, in the last couple weeks. It is a special, quote, zine issue in which characters from the Marvel Universe submit their own comics into a compilation because apparently a public library was destroyed in a fight of the Avengers, and Squirrel Girl wants to put money together to rebuild the library because that's totally her character. So the first comic we get by Howard the Duck, we have a femme fatale coming into his office, and it just devolves into a makeout scene.
That's awesome.
And then, yeah, it's literally, there's no plot to it. It's just like, he's writing about himself making out with, like, some hot chick.
So, what do you call it? Some softcore for you?
Basically softcore.
Softcore bestiality.
I mean, look at this.
Like, dangerous areas.
Just, like, look at these, like, sequences. They even, like, eat a cheeseburger together, like Lady and the Tramp style.
That's so horrible!
Yeah, this one was actually written by Erica Henderson, so like, oh, I don't know where her mind is.
That's great.
Second comic.
She's such a soft-spoken person.
She really is. So second one, we have Brain Drain's old-time feel-good inspirational corner. So for Squirrel Girl fans, Brain Drain is the nihilistic robot, brain in a jar, and he's basically forcing happiness upon you. Look at images of baby dogs, baby cats, baby ducks, baby chickens, baby
rainbows.
Spiders.
God, horrifying.
Yeah, there's inspirational mantras. And then at the end, he's like, if you are not happy now, go back and reread this until you are happy.
That's awesome.
Then we have a Loki comic, which is actually amazingly written because it is a reverse poem, meaning each panel that you read in order, then you read it in reverse to make a different comic.
What?
Yeah, so he's talking about, like, in the first read through, he's like, I'm a great guy, everything you've heard about me is lies. And then in the one going reverse, he's like, everything you've heard about me is lies. I'm not a great guy. Like,
that's so cool.
It's so amazingly written. It's just phenomenal. After that, we have Kraven writing about his encounters with Spider-Man. So Kraven's basically an egomaniac, we find out. Mm-hmm. And we learned something interesting.
You have to be an egomaniac to wear...
Yeah.
And so he's like, and Spider-Man dies, and nobody shows up to his funeral, and then I die later, and everyone shows up to my funeral, including presidents. But I'm not dead, I'm just hunting death, and when... And then he also says that...
I wish I had self-confidence like
those
that.
Those are not spider senses, those are stink lines, because Spider-Man is stinky.
That's amazing.
Yeah, then we get one of Spider-Man's reaction to Kraven's comic.
And Kraven. Then
we get like a Wolverine thing, which is actually like pretty deep and stuff. And stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Then we get Tippy Toes Bat Squirrel.
Oh, that's
comic.
Awesome.
Yes, her origin. You see, when I was a kid, I went to see a play with my parents.
Oh my god!
Leaving, a shadowy figure approached us and shot. God. Out a bad review of
is
the
that
performances.
An
yeah, she's fighting the Juggernaut.
The Juggernaut?
Yes.
That's amazing.
And then we disagreed, and today my parents are dead, set against me being a hero. So, and then she says that nobody else should steal her idea for a comic and take out the squirrel parts. Then, of course, the best part of this whole thing, Jim Davis as Galactus, the creator of Garfield, writes basically Galactus and Norrin Rad as like a John and Garfield.
My God, it's
pair.
Amazing.
We have two pages of three panel dad jokes. Galactus has been around since the beginning of time, and his best jokes are dad jokes.
That sounds absolutely accurate.
Yeah, and then the best part about this comic in general is the fact that at the end, Squirrel Girl's like, and if you stay till the end, I'll give you a picture that I drew when I was a kid. The picture she drew is actually fan art submitted by a 5 or 6 year old girl to the comic. And this girl, Iris Holdren, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong, she is actually included in the artist's page. with a little vial about her. It's so adorable.
And she's dressed as an adorable squirrel girl.
And she's dressed as an adorable squirrel girl.
I had, like, puppies to hand out right now.
I know, right?
I know. So amazing. Oh, and also the letters page. We get letters also from Marvel characters into Squirrel Girl.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. The Tony Stark one is the best. So, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Hilarious. Amazing.
I feel like
awesome.
All of the stuff that Marvel puts out that's really, really good has nothing to do with the main Marvel universe.
I think DC is kind of sitting in that same too.
Well, no, because I think like the... Well, okay. Well, a discussion topic for a not 0.5.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then quickly, I'm going to do... Number One with a Bullet. The title, the comic is actually called Number One with a Bullet. This is issue number one. Issue number two will also be called Number One with a Bullet, except it will be issue two.
Image Comics. I was hoping that it would turn to number two.
Yeah. Image Comics, Jacob Saman, writer, George Jorge, maybe, Corona, artist, sorry about that. Interesting. Have no idea where it's going right now. Digital age, like, intrigue, drama. Interested to see where it goes. Have nothing more to say about it.
Drama.
Boom. All right. Kat?
I mean, I've got legitimately nothing this week besides, like, the last thing I got is Jetson. So if you guys have other ones, go, because I got nothing.
All right. Matt, well, cool. What do you have?
I will talk about one of the books that I was... Man, this is... I was super excited about this.
I will say this. I've looked inside of it. It's super pretty.
This is Batman, The Dark Prince Charming, one of two. So, issue number one. This is a prestige format, hardcover, 64 page. Oh, yeah, you gotta do the knocking. So that's the key. Just to feel it.
Uh-huh.
Good news is, guys, any bullies chasing you, just...
Yeah, exactly.
But don't get any blood on it.
When they make fun of you for reading comics, then you can just, like, stop eating them with it.
You just put it in a plastic case first, and then just...
Yeah, exactly.
Put a little hard case around it.
Yeah.
double it up. So this is by Enrico Marini, an Italian comic book illustrator. Out of continuity Batman story, you know, he was actually found by Jim Lee to actually do this. And there's this awesome intro in this that talks about, Marini's talking about how Batman actually flew into his window and told him that it was time for him to do a Batman comic. It's amazing. Like, the intro is amazing, and it sets the tone for what this book is. And it's a Joker story, you know, where he's got a little girl captured, and it looks like this is going to be a very, like, torturous, dark story. And as it unfolds, there is a lot of whether or not Bruce Wayne has fathered illegitimate children throughout his life and tenure as Batman. This is in the European style, so that it's two prestige format books. This was wonderful. This is a watercolor masterpiece of Batman fandom. It pokes fun at vaping in a really hilarious way. It's dark. It's sexy. And, like, in the way, like, the Joker-Harley relationship is very overly sexualized, but in the same way that Joker's like, that's Harley! You know, like, it's really, really funny.
I was gonna say, is it uncomfortable?
No. It isn't. That's the thing. It's like, you can tell Harley rules that part of the relationship.
Is it like, animated series where she's just like...
Bingo! But she looks more like the... So Joker and Harley both look like European clowns, but she looks much more like she's the Margot Robbie Harley. So a little bit... I'll just pull a picture of her up.
I was just supposed to say, so we're going to territories like, you want to rev your Harley?
Yes, exactly. Okay. That kind of stuff. Where...
Yeah. Okay, I see it.
See, now there's, like, a little bit of horror right now, because I don't like clowns very much.
But, like, she wears a skirt, but she's really just wearing underwear.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's the different cultural things. Like, this is a European book. This plays with the pop culture representation. Like, that's some sexiness right there.
Yeah.
I'm just, I noticed this, and it's really weird, but he has hair on his chest, and I'm not used to that.
He should. Like, I feel like Batman, I don't know why, I just feel like it's like,
Why would he why would Batman shave
his chest? Why would he shave his chest? Yeah, like, that's really weird. He would shave his face for, like, presentation as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
But that's about
obviously.
It.
Obviously.
But there is this element of, like, once again, Catwoman rules their relationship, and that's kind of...
Europe
kind
is
awesome.
Great! I'm kind of digging it over there.
This is also the continent that allows basically, like, topless, like, shots in commercials that air on primetime television.
Exactly, and you frame that with what is very much the pop culture representation of Batman. Like, he looks like he's from the 89 movie-ish, in terms of his overall look. This is just... I loved this. I loved this so much that I pored over the artwork and then sat at home and just drew. Like, it was just, it hit me in such a way that was like...
Well, it's beautiful, honestly. Like, honestly, the thing that weirded me out about Harley, like, she's beautifully drawn. Everybody's beautifully drawn. But I freaking hate clowns, and she's more clown-like in this.
She is!
So, it's like a little bit of a...
it really works. Like, the characters feel like they're this darker extrapolation of the animated series, and the Killer Croc is unbelievable.
He's
clearly somebody who has this, you know, genetic disease that makes his skin look like
skin. And the thing was,
he gets it tattooed so that it's one step further. He doesn't look like a crocodile. He looks like a man who is deformed.
See, and the thing is like, I kind of talked about it, but he seems more like a body modified.
Yes.
Than, I did this of my own free will, then, what happened.
He already has the skin disorder, and then he's like, well, you know what? You're going to outcast me. You're going to make me a circus freak. I'm going to take this one step further and become this crocodile man.
He's basically just slipping you off the entire time.
Yeah. This was, it's violent, it's sexy, it's beautiful, it's this love letter to Batman in his forms, and then it postulates this weird idea of, is Bruce Wayne an asshole? Like, is there something in his past? Because it seems like you can play Bruce Wayne so many different ways. You can play him as, like, he's this upticked version of Bruce Wayne, like in the Dark Knight series, where it's totally a farce. He's this rich guy that's going to be throwing his money everywhere. You can play him as a philanthropist in the animated series. This is a different version. It's like, he's been through a lot in his life. He's maybe had some real fun along the way, and maybe he's done things he regrets. And I really love this as a piece of Batman history. I cannot wait to read the second. This is one of those special things, and it begs the question of, should we be looking at this as the next format for comic books as opposed to trade paperbacks or individual issues? So, deep moment, I know, for me.
My wallet might appreciate that.
And this is $12.99. It's not like it's cheap, but it feels prestigious. It feels like a piece you want on your shelf. So,
interesting.
Yeah, I went on for a while. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. You were very excited about it.
As we all should be.
Yeah. I was pretty interested that entire time. I was like, come on.
So, I mean, we were definitely egging you on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not right. Your fault. All right, well, I guess I'll go next, and then we can get into some group reviews. I'm going to try to do a two off here. I got Eugenic number 2, which is written by...
James Tynion IV.
You got to give me like 2 seconds
James
to Tynion just mentally
IV,
prepare.
James art by Eric Donovan. And so this basically takes 200 years, plays 200 years after the events in issue 1. Some humans were immune to the genetic modifications that happen, and they are all held in pariah cities, which in and of itself is just like deep and
oh
terrifying.
My god, what is this bitch planning again?
I know, there's like some issue, there's definitely like some weird things in here. So they basically like test into these things, and like if you pass the test then you can like have children, and it's basically like eugenics, like in a world of eugenics, like if genetically modified people,
the Newmans.
Yeah, the Newmans in Numerica, they, like, breed people into what they want them to be. And then all the people who aren't are sent to a farm upstate, basically.
Supposed to be sent to paradise. Yeah,
they're supposed to be sent to paradise.
Made sterile first, and then sent to paradise.
Yeah.
So they can't breed.
But paradise...
What?
But paradise is basically just, like, a... prison.
I was gonna
like,
say
where
hell?
They're kept in, like, basically, like, chambers, like,
but made sterile first. Tests. Like, that's like the one thing that kind of is blowing my mind is that they made them.
Oh yeah,
sterile first. So, well, because
they don't want. Yeah, we don't in this society. We don't want the original human race to breed onto the original human race. We want to breed them with the humans to have maybe a slave race.
So basically breed them into their race instead of, like...
Yeah. To breed out the traits that are unnecessary.
Because as like
I'm pretty sure my face is broken right now.
Well, this and this is
the one
nice
Newman says. He's like, we would feel too bad about just wiping all of you out. So this is basically like our like compromise to not just like strictly killing every human.
Yep.
We're just going to slowly eradicate the species.
Yeah. I need to leave and go to the bar next door.
This book is rough.
It's rough. If you want a nice, like, happy, sexy, adventure, Batman, superhero thing, pick up...
Dark Prince Charming.
Pick up Dark Prince Charming. Do not read Eugenic.
If you want something that hits you deep and makes you... flips the script on the way that we look at societal norms and, you know, how we solve these problems, read Eugenic. My recommendation, read both of these books.
Can,
I absolutely love them.
Can hate and bigotry be eradicated from humans?
It's a big question, isn't it?
Yes, that is the question. And so far the answer is no.
Yep.
Not even if we become a new species.
And boy, is it not a pretty no either.
It's a hard no.
Yeah.
Okay, so after that I got...
We have a camera now. They can see how just like wrecked I am over here.
Well, yeah. I think it's important to talk about that book just because, number one, shook so many of us. Mm-hmm. In the staff here at Griffin, we were all like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
oh my god, it's from Boom too. So I'm like, because normally that you expect that kind of stuff from Image.
Yeah,
no,
it's a Boom book.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that it was Boom. I thought it was Image, because Image is normally the one that's like,
yep,
from the
look at it,
the Adventure Time comics.
Right, exactly. Mech Cadet, you and Eugenics. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, Pat.
No, that's fine. Sorry for getting you guys worked up. So...
I get prepared for it every week.
Next, I got Gwenpool 22. Definitely a hard departure from that. Christopher Hastings writer. Irene Strychalski. Sorry about that last name. I have no idea.
Wow. That one's got me.
So, this... Gwen is apparently, like, the new, like, OP of OPs. Like, if Superman came up to her, she could just, like... tear his page in half, basically.
That's awesome.
Like, what we have here is her, she gets trapped in a prison cell, and then she retcons herself out of it by going through the panels.
What?
Through the panels back. She's running through the gutters back into previous panels, and... she basically says, like, wow, this is a new power that I probably shouldn't have, but yay. Yeah, it's just amazing. Like, her powers are... And then we get to see an actual, like, really interesting representation of it when she's fighting Dr. Doom and she just dips out into the gutter and, like, half of her body just disappears from the world. And so she's fighting Dr. Doom as Iron Doom?
What is he? I think
infamous,
he's Iron
infamous
Man. The infamous
Iron
Man.
Yes. So she's like, I don't want... And this is like... She also pokes fun at Marvel, basically, for this. She's like, I don't want a good Doom. Like, we all... Like, I know that this is just like a temporary story arc that you go into. And I want the old Dr. Doom. And she cuts into his armor with a sword. And we get the old Dr. Doom stepping out of it.
This is beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, and actually, like, really beautiful reveal at the end, like, artistically. And she's like, oh, shit. Like, I wanted to fight Dr. Doom, and here is Dr. Doom. Like, in more of his glory than I've ever seen him in, like, most comics.
What, this is the second issue in the Legacy, like, reboot stuff, right? Or the Legacy numbering?
I think it might be.
Like 21 was the first one?
Might be the first one. I'm not entirely sure, actually. This is like... Yeah. Okay, so it definitely is, because this is the second issue in the story arc right now. You don't really need to have read the first one to read this one.
Okay.
Because it's basically her going, like, I'm going to fight Dr. Doom to be on the Avengers, because that's what I want to do with my life now. And if I defeat Dr. Doom, they'll have to take me in. and also developing.
I did things!
You know, I just dropped a bunch of titles, and I really feel like this book is just a love letter to comics in and of itself.
It is. Like, also, like, the fact that, like, the writing and the art, it takes the whole comic book as its forum. It's not a piece of writing with art in it. It is a comic book. There is no way that you could have stuff like her running through the gutters of multiple panels without taking the whole page into consideration as an artistic piece. And it's very interesting. And it's funny. It's cool. Like, her powers are fucking awesome. Like, let's be real here. They're fucking cool. And then we get great panels, like, shots of her, like, stepping outside of her own comic panel. Like, it's amazing. And I say this every week, but it's getting better and better and better. Like, constantly. This is the one Marvel book that is not... It's doing the opposite of stagnation.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, go pick it up.
Nice.
Definitely. Alright, so let's get into some of our group reviews then.
White Knight!
So we're starting with the Batman the White Knight, written by Sean Murphy.
Art by Sean Murphy.
Or art by Sean Murphy, excuse me. Written and art by him. I didn't know that actually.
With colors by Matt Hollingsworth.
So, wow, Sean Murphy, going hard in the paint. Or in the ink, I guess.
Yeah, going hard in the ink,
So good. I'll let one of you start.
So I think the key element is that
I would say one thing. Spoiler.
This whole episode should have a big spoiler warning because we just get into stuff.
Spoiler.
The reviews episode is basically just spoilers. Yeah. And why the spoilers are awesome.
Right. Exactly.
why you should be reading them.
Yeah. Batman White Knight. I said I was excited about this, and I'm. Definitely continuing to be excited.
Well, that was the thing, too. Is like, I remember reading it, because Nat pulled me aside. He's like, have you read White Knight yet? No, you should go read it. All right, I'll go read it. 20 minutes later, it was like, Nat, it was like, I was reading it, and it's like, Nat came in and just, like, sidekicked me. Check it out, Nat!
Yeah, that's what he did to me, too, honestly.
Well, there is a major reveal in this book that made me happy to the point of laughter and going into a coughing fit because I was a bit under the weather. And
sorry.
Like, the reveal of Harley Quinns in plural, because I'm not a huge fan of what the Harley character has sort of devolved into. I understand how popular the character is. I understand the inklings of the character that existed before and how the character needed to grow. I don't necessarily believe that the growth has been a positive one. She turned into more of a sex symbol and less of a psychologist and a psychiatrist. And
less psychotic, really? I mean, she's still
less clown-like, too. She's not a Harlequin anymore.
She's basically just a psychopath with an ass.
Yeah. And this...
No one said that's wrong, but for Harley, it might be wrong.
Well, and in this book, that Harley gets kicked in the face.
Yeah, quite literally.
By 90s Harley Quinn, which just set my heart on fire.
Her conversation with Jack and explaining how he didn't realize that she was gone. Literal laughter for me. It was so deadpan, like, yeah, you idiot. So, I love this book.
And he's like, I think that's, like, one of my favorite parts. He's like, how could I have not noticed this? And she's like, well, you're a narcissist who suffers from dysthymia and schizoid personality disorder, likely made worse by a chemical imbalance.
I was just like, so matter of fact. It was like, oh, shit.
I'm, like, reading this, and I'm like...
And then he's just like, what? And she's like, I am a psychologist, remember?
Yeah.
Or a psychiatrist.
Yeah, she's a psychiatrist.
She can actually prescribe medicine.
Yes. Man. So, yes. I always forget the difference between iatry and ology.
But yeah, this is like, the characterization, this is still in the sort of world-building phase for what this book is going to be. And I'm glad they gave him an eighth issue now, because we get a small moment like that where you can sit and spend time with this character. I'm not even sure there's very much Batman in this book.
No, he appears at one point with Mr. Freeze to do something that I don't really care about, because let's get back to the Joker story.
Right. Exactly. And because the Joker stuff is more interesting.
Everybody was just like, wait, no, go back. No.
I said after issue one, I would read a whole courtroom issue where it's basically a courtroom drama, like 12 Angry Men style with him. And we get that in the first page. And
I thought it was you that said you want one that's just a date between like Harley Quinn and Jack, or Harley and Jack.
So both of us get our
I guess it'd be Harleen and Jack if we really wanted.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because he's named. You guys keep chatting for a minute. I'm gonna try to find some info from Murphy's Twitter page about the alternate Harley Quinn.
So I just wanted to say that, like, this courtroom scene is so poignant, so poignant. The Joker is basically talking about how he was a criminal, and Gotham and Arkham made him, basically, worse. Through the media and through the representation, they turned him into the idea of a super criminal, so they could then justify their outrageous police budget, basically, which is so goddamn poignant in this day and age. Even in the second issue, we get the famous, Missouri. What was the summer of 2015? What was the town called? The suburb of Missouri where it basically started like the whole like police brutality against African Americans thing. And we get this, and we get the famous picture of the woman standing in the dress with the two cops running up to her to arrest her, which is my cover photo on Facebook, actually. Not because of this, but it's been there since 2015. And,
I can't think of it.
So, basically, it's like the whole argument of, like, why do police need, like, army tactical gear to do this? And they basically, like, in Gotham City, they have this, and they justify it because we have the Joker, which, allegorically, is, because here in America we have crime, like, you know, they don't ever specifically say it like they don't in Gotham, but because police are scared of African Americans and Muslims and other brown people of various shades. So,
you know. It's interesting, like, there's so much that he's put into this that it's, which is so weird that it still feels like a Batman book. Like, it still feels like it fits into this sort of weird, perverse view of the animated series again. Like,
yeah.
Well, that was my biggest thing, is once I saw, like, I had to, like, go back and forth, actually, a couple times when I first read it, because I was like, wait, what, are you bringing back my favorite one? And they did, and I was just like,
it's so good. Well, and so the other Harley, her name is Marion Drews. So Harley's name is Harleen Quinzel, mm-hmm. Harlequin. Marion Drews, from Mary Andrew, a person who entertains others by means of comic antics, a clown.
Hmm. Interesting.
This is how deep Sean Murphy has fallen down the rabbit hole when he's setting up to write this. Not only that, you know the car that Bruce donates to this cause?
Yeah.
Read the license plate. It's Timothy Dalton's car from James Bond.
Oh, shit, it is. Dalton's 007.
Dalton 007.
Is that an Aston Martin?
That is.
Is it an Aston Martin? Fun fact, in the books, it's a Bentley, but, you know, we won't get that, so, you know.
Well,
we also, the party scene in general, like, how, like, it's revealed that basically, like, all these billionaires and stuff are profiting off of Batman's vigilantism.
Yep.
And, like, he's surprised by this. And I was surprised by his surprise. Like, of course if you go in and burn down a whole building, like, it's going to devalue property around it.
Yeah.
And, like, then these billionaires are coming up and buying it when it's low and then flipping it, like, in a little bit, basically. And, like, his outrage at, like, just the matter-of-factness, like, had me a little outraged. Like, how can you not see, like, what you're doing is...
So I'm sorry to say, like, the most cliche thing ever, you know, hell is paved with, you know, the path to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's true.
And that's, what, like, that's really get the exploration in terms of the Batman side of this story is, like, mm-hmm. how much of a failure is he in this universe? Because it's starting to come to the point that he's maybe not the villain of the story. It's just he's not good.
Yeah, no, he's not explicitly the villain because he's still trying to be a hero, but like he's slowly, it's basically him and the reader slowly figuring out that Batman, as we know him and love him, is not actually a good person.
Yeah.
And like that goes, and like I don't think I could read like a mainstream Batman title again just because like
you'll have that in the back of your mind.
Because I've always thought about that. Like I go into big budget box office live action movies, and you know they like go and like the Hulk jumps through a building, and I'm just like, who's paying for that?
Yeah,
like those people's jobs are done. Like the people that work there, like they have no jobs anymore. Yeah. That's what I think. Like, even before I read this, and now reading this, I'm just like,
It certainly pushes it into the next level. And I love the villain almost got him shot, and the intro page, sorry, I'm stealing your book for a second.
Oh, no, it's fine.
It does the moment from the animated series, like, to introduce each of the characters. Like,
yeah.
I didn't mean to. I threw a rock at him. It was a big rock.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. No, so, that was like it's very cinematic in its layout.
Yeah, especially. Well, and
I just honestly like from being, I love this. Considering where the fact that I don't think, I mean, I know people watching
just this.
I know some people watching this understand, like, know that Harley Quinn came from the animated series, and that's where she originally showed up, and then she eventually was moved to the comics because she was such a big hit. And the fact that they're like, hey, by the way, the one that's here right now, it's not really her. Just hey, here's that one.
The reaction has been so positive that people have just been saying, make this the actual continuity for Harley.
That would be fucking dope.
Be crazy.
I'd be in. I'd be sold. If they had two Harley Quinn books, I'd pick up one of them.
Yeah, just two.
I'd pick up not the one right now.
Right.
But everybody knows that.
A different version of Harley.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Alright, so. Well, cool. I think that's good for White Knight. Do you want to, like, hit Jetsons real quick?
Yeah, I think we should. The Jetsons number one came out of DC Comics this past
number
week.
Number one!
It's written by Jimmy Palmiotti with art by Pierre Brito.
It's so... Oh, man.
It is basically the sci-fi response to the Flintstones that happened. The Flintstones was a social commentary on our current social and political ideas. The Jetsons is a commentary on our current technological paradigm that we're in right now.
The one thing I will say is the fact that I understand that we have concerns with, you know, climate change and all of that. But the thing is that's not what took this out. That's not what took the world out.
Yeah, no. it was part of what.
Honestly, for me, I appreciated that.
Well, and it does. It's an overarching theme, though, that maybe we've already created our own demise.
Mm-hmm.
So even after other events, it's still that we failed. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like we failed, and then on top of that, there's events that happen that make it. Even like we could never even have like tried to do it.
Yeah, we couldn't have done the right thing.
Basically, in this world, like all the polar ice caps melt because of global warming. But what actually does it is a meteor strikes the Earth that's made mostly of ice that then melts.
Yep.
On top of that, to cover the whole world in water.
Yep.
Which is why everybody lives in floating buildings in the sky, like they do in the show, which was never actually addressed.
Right. Exactly. And it's not really time wise addressed, like how far ahead of time we are.
Mm-hmm.
But it is definitely, it's a future story. It's so weird in an issue one, we've gotten this whole, like, inevitable disaster, the idea of what it is to be human. We have the idea of obsolescence when it comes to George himself.
Yeah.
The only insane part to this is, like, the fact that his wife is more important than him.
Oh, way more important
and
than
him. And the fact is, like, once again, totally appreciated that.
Yeah.
Because I remember her from the show, and she's just... You know, like the Flintstones.
Yeah,
like she seemed like basically a housewife.
She was like a trophy wife.
Yeah.
But in this, she is like a modern day like
I think she has
a job.
I think she's
like,
a scientist.
Yeah, she's like a scientist and like
part she's like a top scientist too.
Yeah, well, whatever would be UN or like in this world.
But that's the thing is like when she was talking in this comic, it was more about, it seemed more like as scientists, we can't get politics involved. Because once you do that, it's everything's out the window. There's no way we're going to come to any sort of thing. We need to come together as scientists, as a group, and figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And that, I was like, Yes.
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed this. This was for me a stellar debut for what is to come with this series. They certainly made it feel like there was a finality to it, like, because of the way that they approached the story. Well, which is a little good.
It's one of six. So,
oh, is it going to end at six?
Is it?
I can handle that, but at the same time, I'm also curious just for how much was just packed into this one and all the things that they're explaining, if they're going to be able to handle that in six without rushing it.
Yeah.
This was not rushed.
The
amount of content they have in it, they still are able to have, like, multiple pages of just dialogue between Rosie, the robot.
And George.
And then, like, you know, where they're both basically, like, on the verge of existential crisis, but they're still, like, happy attitude about it.
Well, and the mother-son aspect to that, like, that's such a weird, I guess it's a change. I guess that was never really confirmed who Rosie was, but it's so
funny. In the show. In this, though, this one kind of, like, tore at me a little because she's like, so how are you feeling? And she's like, that's a weird question to ask because feelings don't necessarily exist in what I am right now. And then on top of that, he's like, so how do you feel about, you know, what happened? And she's like, oh, since I decided to end my life and move it to this body and potentially live forever. And I was like,
yeah. Like, what the hell? You know, like, that's such a...
Like, that moment in time, you're just like, what? Is anything real? I'm going back to Blade Runner feelings, man!
That's what I...
But I still love this existential crisis, but it still has, like, the sort of uplifting tone of the original Jetsons.
I think that's especially
with, like, the intro.
The guise of the storytelling is that we're going to present to you dark science fiction in this bubblegum, like, cartoon world.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's just so fun to see.
Especially with the first page where it basically plays out the theme song.
Which you read it as the theme song. As your
meet George Jetson, his boy Elroy, daughter Judy, Jane, his wife. Jane, his wife.
Yeah, I keep selling this to people as, world-ending science fiction. I'm like, really? This is not the book you think it is. Pick this up and enjoy.
It is the book I thought it was going to be.
Well, after reading the Flintstones.
The Flintstones was the same way, where it was like, oh, sweet, cool. This is, oh my god, my heart.
Yeah. Oh wow, they're remaking
all the characters.
I'm bleeding. Oh, wow, those old characters are commenting on how shitty we are as people.
Right.
Well, they're all that way too, because I know that they're doing Rough and Ready. The next one is Snagglepuss.
Yes, Snagglepuss. I'm so excited for Snagglepuss. Where Snagglepuss is basically,
and that's the writer of Flintstones is doing that book.
Oh, yes, yes,
it's Mark Russell. So
take my money.
Yeah, where Snagglepuss is basically Tennessee Williams, 1950s playwright.
Yeah, that's
so. I can't wait to see some Snagglepuss plays. So about now how depressing life is,
right?
But well, also in bubblegum.
Well, the fun part to that is he's also gay.
Well, that's Tennessee Williams.
Yeah.
So,
but I mean, at the same time, a giant pink cat. I'm in. And the thing is like with all these Hanna-Barbera series that I have read so far, I don't want to turn any of them away because I'm like, I feel like if I do, I'm gonna miss out on something great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just keep doing that with all of them. So I read it.
Strong debut for me. I really felt like this was. And it's a debut issue, and it feels like a first issue to lead you in by holding your hand, but not kind of holding your hand and maybe grasping you a little tighter because you need it.
Hold my hand and you can squeeze it if you get scared.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're kind of dragging you a little bit because you're like, no.
Yeah. All right. It's like you kind of don't want to go with them.
Yeah. The thoughts stop. You're like, can we stop? And like, no.
Yeah, they're taking you to the comic version of the dentist when you're younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's a funny way of putting that.
Yeah.
Get the candy afterwards, so.
All right. Well, I think that should do it for our 14.5 episode.
Yeah.
14.
All right. Well, everyone say bye.
Bye. Bye.